This podcast may contain content that is graphic and disturbing in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Today's episode, we'll be providing an update to the story which was covered in episode 101 called Charlie Brown. But before providing the update, you will first hear a replay of that episode, followed by the details of a trial which was recently conducted as a result of the incident in that episode. But first, here is a brief summary of what happened on the day of October 16th, 2020. A man by the name of Samuel Patty was a secondary teacher at a school in France. At the end of a school day, he began his walk home, but was ambushed by a man who stabbed him to death and then beheaded him. Listen now to the events that led up to this tragedy. It was the end of the school term, and the students and teachers were looking forward to their 2 weeks of school holidays. As they were leaving school that Friday afternoon, they were not to know that one of them would not be returning after the holidays. This is Apple for the Teacher, a true crime podcast. I'm your host, Anna Thomas. Today's episode is called Charlie Brown. The teacher was walking home after school. What happened to him? In October 2020, just 7 months ago, students and teachers all over France were looking forward to their 2 weeks school holidays. In Paris, a middle school teacher named Samuel Patty was leaving his school on the Friday of the last day of school. Samuel was 47 years old, married, and had a 5-year-old son. He taught history, geography, and civics at his school. Samuel walked out of his school and headed home, but what he did not know was that he was being followed. A man with a knife then suddenly attacked Samuel, stabbing him multiple times. Samuel died in the attack. The killer also beheaded Samuel and took a photo of his severed head, which he then posted to Twitter with the message, "In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, to Macron, leader of the infidels, I executed one of your hellhounds who dared to belittle Mohammed. Calm your fellow human beings before a harsh punishment is inflicted on you." People had seen the attack, and the police were called. The man was confronted by police not far from the murder scene. He shot at police with an air rifle and also tried to stab them with a knife. The police were able to shoot him 9 times, and he died at the scene. The murder of Samuel was not a random attack, but was premeditated and had stemmed from an incident which had occurred 2 weeks earlier. Samuel was teaching his civics class and wanted to present a lesson on freedom of speech. To illustrate the concept, he used 2 cartoons which had been published in a French newspaper some 8 years earlier. The publishing of the cartoons caused a controversy which made worldwide headlines. The cartoons had been published in a weekly magazine in France called Charlie Hebdo, which still exists today. The magazine is known for being satirical, nonconformist, anti-racist, secular, skeptical, and left-wing. It has a tradition for publishing articles about politics and religion, including Catholicism, Islam, and Judaism. Its name, Charlie Hebdo, comes from the character Charlie Brown in the Peanuts cartoon. And Hebdo is short for hebdomadaire, which means weekly in French. The magazine is known for using satirical cartoons in its content. It first started publishing in 1970, and many of its employees had come from another publication which had been banned in France after mocking the death of a former French president. It stopped publishing in the 1980s due to lack of funds, but resumed again in 1992. In 2006, it was embroiled in controversy after reprinting cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, which had originally appeared in a Danish newspaper. Those cartoons were seen as sacrilegious in Islam, and many Muslims worldwide felt genuinely hurt by them. But they also condemned the violence that came in response. The French president at the time criticized the publishing of the cartoons, calling it overt provocation. After the cartoons were published, Islamic organizations in Paris sued under anti-racism laws, saying they incited hatred against Muslims. The court ruled in the favor of Charlie Hebdo, stating that the cartoons were ridiculing only fundamentalists, not Muslims in general. Then, 5 years later, in 2011, the magazine's offices were targeted by a gasoline bomb after it published a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad and invited him to be its guest editor at the magazine. Then a year later, they published more Muhammad drawings which depicted him naked and in demeaning or pornographic poses. The French government rebuked the magazine for fanning tensions, but still defended its right to free speech. It was in the year 2015 that the magazine office in Paris came under attack again. Gunmen forced their way into the building, saying that they were avenging the Prophet Muhammad and shouting, "Allah Akbar," which means God is great. They first killed the caretaker and then forced a cartoonist to enter the security code, which granted them access to the second floor. They stormed into a room where a meeting was taking place and shot the police officer who had been stationed in the building specifically for the staff. He didn't have a chance to draw his weapon. They then asked for four cartoonists by name and shot them all. Four other people in the room were also shot dead. As they were fleeing from the building, the police arrived and opened fire, but they were able to speed away in their own vehicle. They happened to come across a police officer unaware of what had happened, and he was killed too. They abandoned their car and hijacked another car. The police found the car and also found an identity card left in the car, which enabled them to identify the assailants. They were two brothers born in France but of Algerian descent. They were suspected of being involved with international terrorists and had been on a no-fly list. The next day, the brothers robbed a service station, which allowed the police to continue pursuing them. They were eventually forced off the road by a police roadblock, and gunfire was exchanged. They then managed to get to a printworks factory and held the owner hostage. Another employee managed to hide from the gunman and contacted police via text message. The gunman then made a phone call to a TV station saying they were defenders of the Prophet Muhammad and that they had been sent by the AQAP, or Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. They also said they were ready to die. The police finally launched an attack on the building and the brothers were shot dead. Meanwhile, the brothers had another accomplice who took hostages in a Jewish supermarket in an attempt to force the police to release the brothers. But police stormed the supermarket, killing the gunman and freeing the 15 hostages. However, four hostages had been already shot by the gunman. With the whole ordeal finally over, millions of people across France marched in anti-terrorism rallies expressing sympathy for the victims. 40 world leaders were present, including the leaders of Germany, Israel, Palestine, and Britain, but the US President Barack Obama was noticeably absent. The magazine then released a new edition of its magazine, which was put together by the employees who had survived the attack. The cover featured a cartoon of the Muslim Prophet Muhammad holding a sign that said, "I am Charlie," and also the words, "All is forgiven." The magazine's usual weekly print run had been 60,000 copies, but this issue sold 8 million copies. Following the magazine attack, there was a rise in Islamophobic incidents in France. France had Western Europe's largest Muslim community. In the year that followed, at least 130 people were killed in a series of terrorist attacks in Paris. But Charlie Hebdo vowed that the attack would not stop them from poking fun at Islamic extremism. However, many critics worldwide said the magazine was attacking Islam itself. The staff at the magazine responded by saying that they were calling out intolerance, oppression, and the threat Islam posed against democracy. They vehemently defended their right to freedom of speech. However, many held the view that they pushed the limits of French hate speech laws with caricatures that offended a large majority of people. Many French people found the magazine disgusting or extreme, but defended its right to exist. Previous issues of the magazine had ridiculed world leaders, popes, Jewish leaders, dead child migrants, and other religious, political, and entertainment figures. As well as the brothers who had been shot dead, there were others who had been involved in the attack in 2015, and they went to trial last year in September 2020. This late start had been due to delays caused by COVID-19. But Charlie Hebdo didn't back down, republishing the original cartoons when the trial opened. A Pakistani youth then stabbed two people outside the magazine office, claiming the motive was the republishing of the cartoons. The magazine made the following public statement during the trial. We need strong actions to stop Islamism, but also to condemn the slightest gesture, the slightest intolerant or hateful word toward French people of immigrant backgrounds. Because France isn't divided between Muslims and non-Muslims, between believers and non-believers, between people with French roots and French people of immigrant backgrounds. No, France is divided between Democrats and anti-Democrats. The trial lasted for 3 months, and the French court reached its decision in December last year, 2020. 14 people were convicted of crimes including financing terrorism to membership of a criminal gang involved in the attack. 11 were jailed, receiving sentences ranging from 4 to 30 years. After handing down his judgment, the judge said, "The fact of choosing victims precisely because they were journalists or a member of the security forces or of Jewish faith clearly demonstrates in itself their desire to sow terror in Western countries." The lawyer acting for Charlie Hebdo made the following statement. "This is the end of something today. This is the end of a trial that's been crazy, illuminating, painful, but which has been useful. I hope it's also the beginning of something else, a realization of the will to act that we felt during this trial, a will of citizens to say that we must fight against fascism. And this fascism, it's Islamism. This is not Islam, it is a distortion of Islam, but this is not Islam." One of those convicted was the former partner of one of the brothers who was killed. She went on the run and is believed to still be alive in Syria. An international arrest warrant has been issued for her, but she was still convicted in absentia for financing terrorism and belonging to a criminal terrorist network. She was given 30 years prison, which she will serve if ever captured. Two other people were also convicted in absentia. So now let's get back to the teacher, Samuel. He was presenting a class on freedom of speech and showed two cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, with one showing him naked and his genitals exposed. But before showing the cartoons, he permitted students to leave the room or avert their eyes. Several mosques and imams condemned Samuel's murder, as did many Muslim-majority countries such as Turkey, Iran, Jordan, and Kuwait, but they also condemned the publication of the cartoons. The perpetrator of Samuel's murder was an 18-year-old Russian immigrant of Chechen descent. Chechnya is a Muslim-majority republic and the federal subject of the Russian Federation. His half-sister had joined ISIS in Syria, but he was not known to the security agencies in France, although he had minor misdemeanor charges. He claimed responsibility for the murder, saying he was ready to be a martyr and that his actions had avenged the prophet after Samuel had showed him in an insulting manner. He also made a video broadcast on Instagram saying, "Brothers, pray that Allah accepts me as a martyr." Samuel had reportedly shown the cartoons every year since the 2015 attack on Charlie Hebdo, but this time a female student's father accused Samuel of showing pornography to students and then filed a complaint with the police. Samuel responded by also filing for defamation. The father went on YouTube and Facebook, naming Samuel and his school address, and encouraged other parents to join him in action against Samuel. He described Samuel as a thug. The parent also went to Samuel's school to protest, and he was joined by an imam from a mosque. This man was an Islamist militant who was known to French anti-terrorism police. They demanded Samuel's expulsion from the school. The parent also filed a complaint against the school and encouraged others to protest. Samuel and the school principal went to the police to file a complaint over the matter. There was also an investigation conducted by school inspectors, which found that Samuel was justified in presenting the lesson as part of the civics curriculum. However, they criticized him for not showing the cartoons to the whole class and allowing those who may be shocked to leave the room. In a meeting with school inspectors, Samuel acknowledged that he should have shown them to the entire class. He was reprimanded for not doing so. Here is a statement from a school inspector. "The fact of having shown the caricatures is not in question. However, having invited pupils to leave to save them from seeing the caricatures, even with the best intentions and within the framework of a constructed pedagogical approach, is a mistake." The social media campaign against Samuel raised questions with some of his colleagues, who visited him at home and advised him not to walk to school, but to get there by car. Then, only a few weeks after Samuel's lesson, the perpetrator was driven to Samuel's school with an accomplice and waited outside the gates. As students were leaving at the end of the school day, he asked them to point out Samuel to them, offering them about 300 euros. Two students agreed, and they waited with him until Samuel was seen leaving and pointed him out. And that's when Samuel so tragically lost his life. And even though Samuel had gone to the police, there were many after his murder who criticized the response, saying that they grossly underestimated the risk to him. A national memorial was held for Samuel, and President Macron awarded him the Legion of Honor, which is the highest order of merit in France for both the military and civilians. A total of 10 people were charged for being involved in Samuel's murder. The parent of the student in his class was charged with organizing a hate campaign against Samuel, as was the imam of the mosque. There were also around 400 people who had interrupted Samuel's commemoration ceremony who were also charged. And then in February this year, 4 months after the murder, a bill was passed to fight Islamist extremism. A new crime was enacted, which made it unlawful to threaten a public servant, and authorities were given powers to close places of worship if they promote hate or violence. Religious institutions were also forced to declare funds acquired from abroad which exceeded 10,000 euros. Stricter rules were also put into place to stop parents taking children out of school to continue their education in underground Islamist institutions. So, looking at the timeline again, the trial for the 2015 attack started in September last year, 2020, with Charlie Hebdo republishing the cartoons. So, it was these events which prompted him to conduct the lesson, which ultimately caused his death only a month later in October. He was just a teacher doing his job, teaching a civics class, which was part of the French curriculum, so he had every right to conduct that lesson. Yes, he could have used another example other than the cartoons to illustrate the right to freedom of speech, but he didn't, and it cost him his life. So, as teachers, is it better for us to avoid controversial topics or take them head on? As a primary school teacher, these types of topics don't form part of our curriculum as they would in high schools, so it's not something that I would come across. But it makes me wonder about his wife. How did she feel about her husband's decision, which ultimately cost him his life? I would assume as a couple, they would share the same values and beliefs, and therefore I would guess that she would support her husband wholeheartedly. I tried to find information about her, but I couldn't find anything. So her desire to remain out of the spotlight is totally understandable. So what did Samuel's students and others who knew him have to say about what happened? Students in his class said that he did not show the cartoons to be provocative, with one saying he didn't do this to create arguments or to disrespect. He showed the cartoons every year. It was part of the moral and civic education curriculum. It was to talk about freedom in relation to the attack on Charlie Hebdo, that he showed these images, these caricatures. People described him as being well-liked and professional. One parent said, "When my son had a problem, he listened. Nobody deserves this, least of all him." Another student said, "He was really into his job. He really wanted to teach us things. Everybody gave their opinion during his lessons. It was great. Now we have to go on. We must not give in." Then, back in February this year, a village in southern France had discussions about renaming their school after Samuel Paty. It had been the idea of the local mayor, but there was a backlash by teachers, parents, and students, and the idea was eventually dropped. The mayor stated, "I wanted to honour this teacher who was killed in such an atrocious way. It would have been an important symbol for our republic." A spokesperson for the school said, "Of course, we want to honour our colleague, but not like this. This would make us a target, and we should avoid that." A survey had been conducted at the school regarding the proposed name change, with the results being that 89% of parents said no, 69% of students said no, and 100% of the teaching staff also said no. When asked why not, the staff spokesperson said that Samuel was not from the town and therefore had no strong links to the college. The mayor had obtained permission from Samuel's family to make the name change, and the regional council had agreed. So he thought it would just be a formality, but it wasn't to be. This particular school had already renamed its street after a paramilitary police officer who was killed by an extremist gunman during a supermarket attack in 2018. The school spokesperson said, giving our school Patti's name would add another tribute on top of that and bestow upon this place a very sad connotation, although children come here every day. But the school's refusal to change the name caused angry reactions, with one commentator saying it was a voluntary surrender in the face of danger and a disgrace. The man who is the head of the Observatory for Education said the following: "The Islamists are winning the battle over ideas, as the teachers are not even showing up for the fight. I understand that people don't want to risk their lives, but since the attacks in 2015, we no longer live in the bubble of security we had been in for 70 years, and public servants have an obligation to defend the values of the Republic." However, another school has decided that they will rename their school after Samuel. They plan to renovate the existing school and reopen it again in 2022 under the new name. Another school changed their name only a few days after Samuel's death. Isn't that interesting? The mayor in that area said, "We have to defend our civilization and democracy by loudly proclaiming our ideals. We need to stand our ground in the face of terrorism." Now, this particular school was very interesting in that the city council didn't need the school's approval to rename the school. So it depends on the region where the schools are located. Some schools are fully governed by their school boards, while others are not. However, the mayor, whose proposal was rejected, still plans to rename another location in the council area to Samuel instead. What a man Samuel was. As a teacher, I really don't think that I could have showed so much courage as he did. To be so true to your convictions, I really don't think that I could have the courage to do what he did. I'm not the sort of person who likes to engage in conflict, and yeah, it's just not in my nature, so I'm afraid that I would be a coward. I hope his family is doing well and they can move on from this, and maybe one day his wife will be prepared to come out and talk to the media. I mean, it only happened in October last year, so it's really, really fresh. Maybe one day she will come out into the open. So I really look forward to hearing what she has to say. Now, I am adding some more to this story only the day before this episode was due to be released, because I came across an update. So listen to this news story about what happened.
Let's shift our focus to France. The student who had complained against school teacher Samuel Paty has admitted that she was lying and spreading falsehoods. The girl had claimed that Samuel Paty had asked Muslim students to leave the class when he showed the cartoons of Prophet Muhammad. The girl's father later lodged a complaint. He also amplified the allegations online. What seemed to be a harmless lie told by a schoolgirl spiraled into one of the worst terror attacks that France has witnessed. An 18-year-old refugee of Chechen origin tracked down Paty and beheaded him. In reality, the schoolgirl was not even present in the classroom during a class on freedom of expression. In fact, she had already been threatened with expulsion because of disciplinary problems. The girl's lawyer said, and I quote, "She lied because she felt trapped in a spiral because her classmates had asked her to be a spokesperson." The girl has been charged with slander. Her father has been charged with complicity in murder over the killing of school teacher Samuel Paty. The terrorist who killed Paty was shot dead on the spot. Reports say his last contact was with a member of a jihadist group in Syria. The French Parliament is keen on introducing punishment against publishing information online about a public servant if it could cause them harm.
So, can you believe this? I am just absolutely shocked. So, what she had told her father was totally not true. She had said She was in class that day and objected when Samuel told the Muslim students to leave the classroom. And when she refused to leave, she said she had been suspended. But the real truth was that she hadn't even been in the classroom that day. And she had been suspended the day before for absences from school. So it had nothing to do with Samuel's lesson. So she made up the story because she didn't want to disappoint her father. As we have seen, her father led an online campaign against Samuel, naming him and the school, which led the perpetrator to murder Samuel. So prosecutors have said there is a direct causal link between the campaign against Samuel and his murder. How absolutely deplorable is this, that a student's lie led to the brutal murder of this wonderful man? I just cannot imagine how his wife has reacted to this. And no doubt there is a lot more that I'm going to be able to say about this story, as it happened only just recently. So I will be continuing to follow and providing any updates as they come. As I do with every episode, I end with a quote, and there are plenty of quotes on freedom of speech, but I thought I would finish with a quote from a man called Salman Rushdie, the author who caused controversy with his book called The Satanic Verses, which was called blasphemous by many Muslims. The quote says, "What is freedom of expression? Without the freedom to offend, it ceases to exist." Bye for now, and remember to be a good apple. Three years have now passed since Samuel's death, and following a police investigation, it was determined that six students from his own school had contributed to his murder. They were aged 14 and 15, but there was also a 13-year-old girl who was involved. They went on trial, but because they were juveniles, their identities were suppressed, and they arrived at the court each day with their appearances disguised by wearing masks, hoodies, or sunglasses to shield their faces. Also under French law, juvenile trials must be conducted in a closed court. Therefore, the media and the general public were barred from attending. Five of the students were tried for criminal conspiracy with intent to cause violence. They were accused of having been on the lookout for the teacher and identifying him to the killer in exchange for money. They described the teacher's physical appearance and the clothing he was wearing to the assailant, and also the teacher's usual route when he left school each day. They also recruited other students to keep watch for him when he left school and to point out the teacher to the assailant. These students testified that they didn't know the teacher would be killed. One of the minors said that the assailant told him that he just wanted to film the teacher apologizing for showing caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. The 13-year-old female student was accused of false allegations for wrongly saying that the teacher had asked Muslim students to identify themselves and leave the classroom before he showed the cartoons. But the teacher had not asked the children to leave, but said they could turn away if they felt they would be offended by the cartoons shown. However, this girl had not even been present in the class on that day. Her comments subsequently aggravated online anger against the teacher, which set off a tragic chain reaction. Her role was described as perpetrating a persistent lie, which led to the murder of the much-loved teacher. Not only that, but she blatantly lied to her own parents regarding a 2-day suspension she was given from school. She told her parents that she had been punished for complaining to the teacher about the caricatures he presented, but actually she had been suspended for other unrelated reasons. This girl's actions resulted in her father posting an online video which branded the teacher as an anti-Muslim thug, and the father also demanded that the teacher be fired. Her father was a radical Islamic activist who mobilized other activists to incite a social media campaign against Mr. Patty. And this is what led to the assailant carrying out his brutal act. At the completion of the trial, all six minors were found guilty of the part that each of them played in the murder of Samuel Patty. The 13-year-old girl received an 18-month suspended sentence. The other five minors were given prison sentences, ranging from 14 months to 2 years, but all were suspended or commuted, meaning that none of the students will serve jail time, but they will be required to stay in school or jobs during the duration of their suspended terms with regular medical checkups. The police investigation also uncovered 8 adults who were involved in the killing, and these people will go on trial at a later date. One man is accused of accompanying the killer to buy the weapons, and the other for driving him to the school where the teacher taught on the day of the murder. Now, you won't be surprised that Mr. Patty's family described the sentences as being incomprehensible. I haven't been able to find a formal statement from the family, but here is what Mr. Patty's lawyer said, quote, "I am emotional. I am emotional for this family, also for the memory of Samuel. A man decapitated in the street is not nothing. We are in France. This was in 2020. The punishment doesn't fit the bill. The sentences are a bad signal to the family, a bad signal to the students, and a bad signal to teachers." Now, as the students were trialed in a juvenile court, the sentences probably reflect what is available under French law. And although many of you may view it as being inadequate, the fact that they didn't actually take part in the murder may account for their sentences. But isn't this such a sad, sad story that that girl's lie set off such a tragic chain of events? And you can make up your own mind about her actions, given she was only 13 years old. So let's finish this episode with a quote about this girl's actions. "The truth doesn't cost anything, but a lie could cost everything. Bye for now, and remember to be a good apple."